And I agree.
In all of our hearts. Give us understanding. Let thy will be wrought. Let thy spirit prevail right now. Bring about unity in the body of the Lord. Bring about unity and understanding that your people, your prophets and your servants and your ministers might be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to give instruction to the great body of the Lord that are looking to them for guidance and for direction. And Lord, let thy word become direction and guidance. Let thy word become the parliament concerned of all of us. Let the word be the guideline. Let the word be the directive. Let the word of the Lord be that in which we can build upon and establish our lives in the word of God. Not my interpretation of the word, not the interpretations of man from the word or of the word or about the word, but let the word of the Lord speak to our hearts in a great and divine way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We want to deal with the subject of the end time made simple, asking that God in his divine concern and God in his divine love will move within our lives to bring about enlightenment and revelation to the family of the Lord, in which I am assuredly a part. And it's my burden in answering that I feel the Lord would have us to do, to try to be of help and of encouragement and to give the insight the Lord has shared with us on the word of the Lord. I want to deal with some matters that are absolute, concrete in the word of the Lord. And those absolutes, irrevocable, fixed positions of God's word that are of great strength. I take great strength when I began to read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Then I would like also to emphasize Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Then I'd like to use a reassuring verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, that says, For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want these to become guidelines of comfort to us. I assuredly hold that these scriptures are for the church today, and I have no need nor reason nor consideration to alter these scriptures or to try to interpret them, but let them to say exactly what they do say. But in light of these scriptures, I find that the Lord wrote to the seven churches of Asia and gave some information which we agree that has direction and guidelines for the current church today. And in light of that, I found a scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that must be synchronized and given consideration to, as well as Revelation 3:10 that was wrote to the church at Philadelphia. For Revelation 2:10 that is wrote to the church at Smyrna, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. My consideration, I would like for you to underline the words, ye shall have tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Would you rethink your position on the scripture that are given? Would you rethink the possible methods God could use to keep us from that hour or the great tribulation? Now note and underline the word method. I am not questioning God's ability to keep us as he has promised and declared, but I am concerned about the methods that he could use. So let that be underscored in your mind. We're dealing with God's method to keep us, as is promised in Revelation 3:10 and Luke 21, verse 36. Absolute number one, God kept Israel from the plagues of Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 8, verse 22 and verse 23, which reads, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Also we realize and further consider, God also kept Israel's firstborn from the death angel, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 23, which is as follows. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, what's the quality? What is the protection? When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. In neither of these examples, God did not have to take Israel out of Egypt to keep them from the effects or hurt of the plagues. In light of these examples, brethren, what consideration do I or should I give to the message written to the church in Revelation 2:10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Absolute. That is found in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. That is assuredly an absolute, which reads, Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I thank God for these verses, Revelation 3:10 and Luke 21, verse 36. I receive these verses in Jesus' name. All that they provide for me and the church. However, what person has the authority to limit God to only one way or method that the church may escape? Israel escaped the plagues and the death angel, but they were still there. The three Hebrews escaped the hurt of the fire, but they did not escape the furnace. Daniel escaped the hurt of the lions, but was cast into the den with them. Elijah was preserved for 3.5 years of drought before he was caught up in a whirlwind. From your background and knowledge, think of what Joseph suffered and went through. Sold by his brethren, became a slave to Potiphar, lied on by Potiphar's wife, imprisoned for 2 long years. Let us look closely at what the Holy Ghost says through Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, verse 10, and delivered him, underline these upcoming words, delivered him out of all of his affliction, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. If you notice, the Lord delivered Joseph out of all of his affliction. But no one could deny he surely suffered through these hardships.
I have studied, I have come to the decision that the Word of God teaches progressive revelation, which means gaining knowledge as time moves along. From this teaching, most all ministers agree that the closer we get to the end time, the more we could know, and the better ministers could understand the scriptures on the end time. Daniel was told in about 534 B.C. to seal up the book. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 9, which reads, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book." Underline with me in your mind, would you, the following: even to the time of the end. How long was the book was to be the seal? Even until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed, underline with me again, till the time of the end. But in A.D. 96, John was told not to seal the book, according to Revelation 22 and verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So clearly, we can see as time went by, revelation was given. At this present date, listen closely, I do not know one person who knows when the Antichrist will be revealed. But after he is revealed, there is a fixed period of time. When Jesus taught and urged everyone to watch or to stay ready and pray, for no man knows when the Son of Man cometh, did he in fact teach or say that no one would never know before he came back again? Underline the word, never know. Surely, in A.D. 33, Jesus says, at this time no man knows. But in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, underline, please, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then again in John 16, verse 12 and 13, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Underline, please, the following. And he will show you things to come. Jesus makes it very clear that after the Holy Ghost has come, he will teach us all things. Totally true. When Jesus made the statement, no man knows, watch and pray, for no man knows when his Lord will come. But we all agree this was before the veil was rent in the temple, before the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is totally agreed that Jesus said, no, not even the Son knew, but the Father. But that was before Calvary, the resurrection, the ascension. But for the scene began quite different as the scene began to unfold in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Notice it, please. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, underline that, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Please underscore that. The time is now right. When Jesus was on the earth, the disciples asked him about these times, and he said, fellas, the time is just not right. But he comes to this point and said, the time is at hand. Carefully, let us study Revelation chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Notice what he proclaimed. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And I wept much because no man, underline that please, no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Isn't that wonderful and great? Jesus prevailed, and he did loose the seals and gave the revelation to the servants of the Lord. Some 53 years ago, I was born to a preacher family. Later, I gained a B.S. degree in Bible and Christian ministry. Now, for more than 25 years, I have answered the call to the ministry, giving a reasonable amount of time to the study of God's Word. And after all these years, I still have not found one scripture that says no one wants or cannot know when Jesus comes for his church or the rapture. If there be any scripture that says no man, angel, or Jesus will never know before Jesus comes back again, please, for Christ's sake and his church's sake, give me chapter and verse for it. In fact, in my study of God's Word, I cannot find one example where God ever did anything that would affect his people in a great way without showing or telling his prophets beforehand so they could warn the people. Please take to heart the following passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 33, verse 7. So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman. My dear beloved brethren, would you let that apply to your heart and to your spirit? So thou, O Son of Man, minister friend, preacher, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, according to Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Now let's see if Noah knew the exact day the flood would come before it started. Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. But yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah not only knew when the judgment of God would start, but knew exactly how long and how many days it would rain. He knew all this before it started. Luke chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. If you would study Genesis chapter 19, and decide if Lot knew before the fire and brimstone fell that judgment was coming. Many also teach that Elijah being caught up without seeing death is a type of the rapture. I totally agree. There are two major things I would like to point out. Number one, according to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 9. Verse 3 I read, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Underline the word today. And he said, yea, I know it. Then underline
I know it. Hold ye your peace. And the sons of the, verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho comes to Elisha and says unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Underline today. And he answered and said, yea, I know it. Then underline, I know it. Hold thy peace. The 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, verse 7, and stood to view. Notice, stood to view. Underline that. Afar off. And they too stood by Jordan, verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, what, ask what I will do for thee, underline, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So then consider the sons of the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, all knew the exact day Elijah would be caught up before it happened. Secondly, did Elisha suffer hardship and tribulation from Jezebel? And how long did the famine and the drought last? James chapter 5, verse 17 answers this. Elisha was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, or 42 months. So that it is very plain that Noah knew beforehand, Lot knew beforehand, the sons of the prophets knew beforehand, Elijah and Elisha all knew beforehand. So, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now let us consider Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 and 27, Fear thee not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Please listen closely. And hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. Please note, this is not just a judgment scene. Because he said, what you hear, I want you to preach. Then I would like to give consideration to what the Lord has dealt with my heart about, and how the Lord visited me some number of years ago when I was in a revival effort, staying in the church. Sometime about dawn of the morning, there was a divine visitation. I had been in inquiry, in prayer, seeking the face of the Lord on the subject of the end time, saying, dear Jesus, help me that I can understand. Help me that I can understand to the extent and degree that people will be able to understand as I share it. Suddenly there was a mighty presence in the room where I was. I had an urge that I should write down the things that I was to receive. There was such an awesome presence of a power or of a spirit or of a person. I would hold that as a person, and you, I think, will understand that as I proceed. But I was questioned in some matters of the Scripture. First off, there was a question came to me and put to me. Is Elijah considered as a type of the rapture? If so, then how long did the draft of the rain last before he was caught up? And of course, I was given a reference point of James chapter 5, verse 17, and it was 3 years and 6 months. Then I was asked again, did Elisha and Elijah and the sons of the prophets know the very day that Elijah would be caught up? And then we've already read that to you in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, 5, 7, and 9. Then I was further asked by the presence of this one that was there, and I would be strongly inclined to believe that I knew who it was because he made it in the first person to ask me, was my death, resurrection, and ascension a type of the rapture? And I said to that voice, yes. Then the voice said, how long did I minister with many persecutions? I answered to say, Lord, most men would say 3.5 years. And then there was the parallel of reference of Scripture. Then this voice told me to refer to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And it reads, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until a time, times, and a dividing of times. Then I was referred to Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, or 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood another two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these matters? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the rivers, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it should be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be fulfilled. Then the voice spoke to me again, then what does the New Testament say on the matter? And gave me the reference of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 through 7. And there was a mouth given unto him speaking great things and blaspheming. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. I allow you to evaluate this and esteem this in the light of God's Word. Was Lazarus not a type of the rapture? As was John the Beloved, even Paul? Was he not caught up into the third heaven? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. According to Genesis 7:4, did Noah know exactly when the rain would start before it started? Yes, 7 days. He also knew how long it would rain before it started. Let us look at the four absolutes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. And if the Holy Spirit has ever conveyed to you, please be sensitive that he may speak to your heart at this time. Listen closely. Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. These scriptures give us the closest description of when, underline the word when, Jesus will come for the church. Please let your spirit hear. These verses are so very important that the Holy Spirit has them read at almost all funerals. It is sad that many read them without getting the understanding of the mystery.
Please turn the tape over for side two.
To give us the closest description of when Jesus will come for the church. Please
let your spirit hear. These verses are so very important that the Holy Spirit has them read at almost all funerals. It is sad that many read them without getting the understanding of the mystery. So first notice the scripture here says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." What is a mystery? Webster says a mystery is something secret, obscure, unexplained, that which is beyond human comprehension. These verses start by calling for an alert. Behold, or look, take heed, listen, hear, consider. Absolute number one, we shall not all sleep or die. Absolute number two, we shall all be changed or be glorified or become immortal. Absolute number three, when? At the last trumpet. Please, Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Absolute four, the dead, that is the righteous dead, shall be raised incorruptible, or he speaks of a resurrection. These four mysteries are fixed. You cannot alter them without endangering your understanding of Scripture. I dare not try to change them. Once these scriptures were implanted into my spirit, you helped me decide whether this was the Holy Spirit or not. Once I began to see this mystery as having some sure guidelines, I feel it was the Holy Spirit that urged me to study the seven trumpets described in Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, through Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. How my heart began to rejoice when I saw what happened at the phasing out of the sixth trumpet, six being man's number. Behold, it said there, that there should be time no longer. Time runs out for something or somebody here. Then in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, or at the last trumpet, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And in the days of the seventh or the last trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished. Then I was shown what was being said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I write before in a few words, hereby when you read, please listen to Paul and the Holy Spirit, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Then further understand with me, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. In A.D. 33, it was not made known. In B.C. 534, it was not made known. But here, Paul writes to the Ephesians, perhaps from Rome in about 64 A.D., will you note what he has to say, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Thus seeing the mystery that was being finished in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, and time no longer in Revelation 10, verse 6, baffled the mystery in Paul's day that Israel and the Gentile were made the same body, are made one body. So the Lord comes for the church at the last trumpet and finishes the mystery. The time of the salvation of the Gentile is finished. Thus, salvation for the Gentile is impossible after the seventh trumpet or rapture. Revelation chapter 11 makes this even more simple. Please turn to Revelation chapter 11. And let me give you a very brief summary. Verse 3 states that the two prophets, witnesses, prophesy for 1260 days. Verse 7, the beast kills the two prophets. Verse 9, the two prophets' bodies lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days unburied. Verse 11, after 3.5 days, they are raised to life again. In verse 12, a voice from heaven called them, saying, come up hither. Verse 13, look very carefully with me, please, at the two words, in the same hour. Then notice, verse 15, that continues with the seventh angel sounding, or the last trumpet sounding, which is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, that we'll be changed. The dead will be raised at the last trumpet. I think you will well note with me that this rules out the teaching that no one can ever know, because the two prophets assuredly can know. The two prophets can know when they're going to be killed. They can know when they're going to be raised. They can know when they're going to be caught up. And it only appears to me that everybody about them that are knowledgeable of the Word could as well know when this is going to transpire. Then, this gives me a clear view into the believer's judgment, rewarding the prophets and the saints, as is seen in verse 18. If you would notice that, please, as it begins to unfold, gives us the beginning of the scene of the wrath of God, which the church is not going to experience. How could anything be more clear or plainer than this? It gives us also an insight into the believer's judgment, where the prophets and the saints are to be judged. Now let us, in additional proof, an explanation of the mystery, look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. The big question, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders or mysteries? And heaven must have said, shh, it's a secret. Nobody can ever know. Notice the authority with which the angel acts. He held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for time, times and a half, or simply 3.5 years. The exact and same length of time described in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. Then may I further confirm this by Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and a dividing of times. They saints shall be given unto his hand till a time, times, and a dividing of time are simply 3.5 years. I want to give you more concrete proof from the New Testament. Revelation chapter 13, verse 5 through 7. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, blaspheming, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth against God and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindred and tongue and nation. So you see, saints are given into Antichrist's hands for 42 months or 3.5 years. Just a quick review. Daniel was taken into Babylon in 606 B.C. Michael visited Daniel, and a man clothed in linen also tells of things to come. But Daniel, in chapter 12, verse 9, was told to seal up the book until the time appointed. Again, in 33 A.D. or so, Jesus said, no man knows. As recorded in Mark 13, verse 32. Or it is not yet time. However, do not overlook Matthew 10, 26 and 27 that we have already reviewed. But I want to now review it in the paraphrase. But do not be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when the truth will be revealed. Their secret plots will become public information. What I tell you now in the gloom, shout abroad when daybreak comes. Hallelujah. What I whisper in your ear, proclaim from the housetop. But in about 56 A.D., Paul was given some insight of when Jesus would come, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52, at the last trumpet. Then about A.D. 96, Jesus comes and unveils the matter of the end time to John, as recorded in Revelation. Notice, again, Revelation 1, verse 3, 1 through 3, and Revelation 5, and Revelation 22, 10. Daniel, the apostles, the early church, was not living in the end time. But we, the ministers of this generation, are. We receive by faith as well as other means. So please believe that God with me will give revelation. The church must have direction. To whom shall she turn? If the pulpit says, we cannot know when Jesus will come. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of day, and we are not of the night or of darkness. Jesus is not coming for the bride as a thief, but as a revealed bridegroom. Now, we'll consider the direct teaching of Jesus himself. Everyone assuredly will hear what Jesus has to say. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 says, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, teach us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Underline two words, when and what. Then in comparison of that, I would like to read our favorite scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 through 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let us now survey and look at some highlight points in Matthew 24 to see when the first mention of Christ's return to gather with his people is mentioned. Now, I want you to give some fast consideration, just a survey with me. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But notice the statement that follows. But the end is not yet. And if you would take the time to check that in other translations, such as the Amplified and the Paraphrase, it will be very, very informational to you. Now, with that, I want to get some consideration. Let's get it focused in our mind now. Jesus, after having said these things above, said, but the end is not yet. And it continues by some fars and thens and ands, which means to us a continuation of things that must happen before the Lord comes. Verse 7, he says, for nation shall rise against nation. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 19, then woe to be them that with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world of this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show wonders, or signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. Now, brethren, let me ask you one thing. Has there been anything to this point about the coming of the Lord coming in the clouds, or any trumpet sounding, or anything of that nature? Has there anything been said about it whatsoever? But notice with you, please, in verse 28, that we've just read, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles gather together. Verse 29, now we're beginning to get some insight. Jesus is the spokesman. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. No mention of this prior to this time. After all these ands and fars, now he says, after this has happened, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and then, verse 30, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And of course, many would say, well, this is his third event when he comes riding a white horse. But the Bible does not say that. Verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. How is the church to be summoned? At the trumpet, the last trumpet, in fact. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All right, if that would suffice, let me quickly turn your attention to compare Mark's record. Mark, again, we want to see what Jesus has to say in regard to this subject. Mark chapter 13, and we begin with verse 4 again. Tell us when, underline the word when. Let's see what the subject is going to be discussed. When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? All right, what is our consideration? What is Jesus going to teach the disciples and us? When these things will happen and what will be the sign? Verse 5, 6, and 7 has these words. Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. When ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must need be, but the end shall not be yet." The end shall not be yet. Please hear that. The end is not yet, is what Jesus said for those people that are there during those times. He said, when all of this occurs, that be it known, the end is not yet. There's something else got to happen. And he continues in verse 8, says, "For nation shall arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Verse 10, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Verse 13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 15, "And let him that is on the housetop not go down into his house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house." Verse 16, "And let him that is in the field not turn again for to take up his garment." Now he's talking about the people that are immediately in the vicinity of Judea. Verse 18, "And pray ye that your flight not be in winter." Verse 20, "For except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days." And notice, we're just still in continuations of ands. We're still in the matter of consideration. The end is not yet, because and all these things have got to take place. "And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false witness and false prophet shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Verse 24, please. "But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of the heavens." Now, can your spirit understand that? When is these things going to happen? In those days after the tribulation. Where are they going to come from? Where are these people going to be gathered from? From the earth. Those that are alive and remain shall be changed from the heavens. The dead in Christ shall arise first. We will be caught up together, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. His elect cannot possibly be just national Israel, for they are being gathered from heaven. This group is being gathered from heaven. These are the spirits of the righteous dead that come with Jesus and go back into their bodies at the last trumpet. In my study of God's Word, I have not found one scripture that says saints or Christians cannot have great tribulation. For many Christians around the world in many nations have been and are now called upon to give their lives for their relationship with Christ. Great tribulation indicates that persecution will also affect the rest of the nations of the world that are not now being persecuted. In regard to the scriptural position, I have some 27 typewritten pages, nothing but scriptures from the Old and New Testament stating saints
can surely be included in these doctrines. The promise of persecution, affliction, trouble, and tribulation is sure and certain to be considered in the doctrines of the church.